You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Today I want to talk about worry. Everybody say, stop worrying. Now, it's pretty simple. Worry is just a sin. That's all it is. Don't know how else to say it. Not as great as some other sins. I know some people say, and we often hear it in church, sin, it's all the same, but it's not. Sin's not the same. Some sins are much worse than other sins. Some sins have greater punishments than other sins. Some righteous acts have greater rewards than other righteous acts. So there's some sins you tolerate. There's some sins you won't tolerate. I mean, there's a lot of sins we would not tolerate in the church, but, you know, we kind of put up with a little bit of gossip. Are you out there? I mean, we don't run people out. You know, it's not good. We don't want it. We're against it. But, you know, sin's not just sin. Because some people try to throw that at you and say, well, I'm not doing anything worse than you're doing. Well, no, some things are worse than others. And you know it is. I mean, would you rather have someone, you know, kind of snub you or rob your house? Hello. I mean, or burn your house down. I mean, there are some sins greater than others. And so we have to understand, the Bible's very plain along those lines, that there's different degrees even of punishment for sins, different degrees of reward for good things that we do. But having said that, worry is sin. Worry is just doubt and unbelief. Worry is just not trusting God. It's something we all do, and many of us are very good at it, but it's not something that's productive. It's not something that's going to help us. It's not something that's going to do us any good. It concerns the future, and it concerns what we believe about the future. Worry never concerns the now. It always concerns the future. Something happened, so we're worried about what's going to happen. Something took place, but that's not what we're worried about. We're worried about how it's going to affect us down the road. And no matter how great the crisis or small the crisis, we start prophesying. We start prophesying doom, gloom, and defeat. We become candidates for hee-haw. Whoa. She met another and she was gone, you know. It always concerns the prospect of a negative future when you think about it. And actually, that is a faith. That is a reversed faith. It's not believing God to intervene. It's believing that God won't intervene. It's believing that God won't get me through this. It's believing that I will not survive. It's believing that it will get worse, not better. That's worry. And that's not doing anybody any good. I'll tell you what, you need to get over that stuff. Amen. You need to get in faith. You need to pray about things. You need to turn things over to the Lord. You've had bad things happen. Join the club. We all had bad things happen. You've been hurt. I've been hurt too. You cut me, I bleed. But at some point, we got to get up. Some point, the crying's got to stop. We got to stop blubbering. We got to get up on our feet, and we got to rise again, and we got to go forward. I hate it. I hate bad things happen. Maybe you had some terrible experiences in your life. I don't know. Maybe your parents didn't do you right. Maybe you didn't have parents when you grew. I don't know. Maybe you went through a bad marriage or two or three bad. I don't know. What are you going to do now? That's the question. We need a can-do attitude. We need the attitude that whatever happened in my life, God is bigger than whatever happened in my life. And what matters now is, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? I can't worry about the past. I can't bring the past into the present. In fact, you know, we're teaching Wednesday nights on principles, just spiritual principles. And we've been on David and Goliath for a couple of weeks on Wednesday nights. And it's just been rich. It's been, not just because I'm teaching it. It's just been rich because we had coffee back there. I always figure if the anointing doesn't kick in, the caffeine will. So we have, Anyway, Wednesday nights we're on that subject, and I taught on David and Goliath. And the thing was different about David is the only past he rehearsed was his victories. That was the only past he brought up. When he was facing this giant, and everybody said he couldn't kill this giant. His brother said he couldn't do it. Saul, the king, said he couldn't do it. He said, Saul, let me tell you a story. And he starts digging into his past, and he says, you know, there was a lion that came up and took one of the sheep out of my father's flock, and I went and took the sheep out of his mouth, and I caught him by the beard, and I killed him. I hit him, and I killed him. That was pretty wild right there. And he said, and then a bear came in and got one of my sheep, and I went and took the sheep out of the bear's paw, and then I smote him on the head, and I killed him too. And then he said this, and he said, the Lord that delivered me out of the hand of the bear and the mouth of the lion would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. And so the only past he really brought into the future were his victories. And his victories he always attributed to the Lord. And he believed that the Lord was the same. And that whatever the Lord did then, he'll do now. Amen? And if we're facing a giant on our horizon, if there's a mountain there on our horizon, well, no big deal. We got a bigger God. Amen. We've been here before. This is not our first rodeo. I have sung this song. I have ridden this horse. Are you with me? I have worn that T-shirt and all the sayings we can come up with. It's bad, yes. I'm not saying we're not affected by things that happen in life. Of course we are. But at some point, the only way we're going to do anybody any good is to rise up and overcome this thing. And we can with God. That's the good news. You know, I read a quote just this week. I thought it was awesome. Nelson Mandela said it in his inaugural speech, his acceptance speech when he became president of South Africa after apartheid. And he said this. He said, "You're playing small does nobody any good. Who are you not to be great?" Let you chew on that a while, huh? We often think, it's just my life, do what I want to with it. Yeah, but your life doesn't do any good if you don't get over things, if you don't rise above, if you don't serve God, if you don't turn your life over to God. Your playing small doesn't do anybody any good. Who are you not to be great? And there's greatness in all of us. I'm not saying we're all going to be the president or we're all going to have $1 million, but all of us can improve. All of us can get over things. And when you get over something, it's amazing what happens to people around you. Did you know they were shaking in their boots, the Israelites, where every time this giant came out into this valley? 40 days and 40 nights. It says twice a day he got in that valley and he challenged them. And they all got the battle in array. They were ready to fight. And the Bible says the Israelites would shake. They'd shake and they'd run. But when David killed that giant, they came off that mountain. There's a world out there waiting for you to kill this giant. There really is. It's not just about you. That's what we got to get a hold of. And our worrying just doesn't help the problem. It adds fuel to the fire, really. It slows the process down. You got to stop worrying and you got to start believing. Amen? Negative thinking. That's negative thinking about the future. You want to bring something into the future from your past, bring your victories in there. Amen? Bring the times that God came through, those answered prayers. Stand on those and know in your heart of hearts that God's going to do what he always has done. He's going to help you and he's going to undergird you and you're going to get through this. May not be overnight, but it's going to happen. See, we got to stop. If there's a leak in the dam, you got to stop it. And one of the leaks we've got in our faith is worry. When worry comes in, our faith just pouring out. It's just leaking out. So let's find a hole and let's plug it, okay? Let's plug it right now. There's a big hole in our life called worry that we're going to have to plug. There's a gate open. The cows are getting out, people. Come on. We got to get the gate closed. And the gate is worry. Close that thing. Identify the problem and then identify an action. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to stop this thing. I'm going to change the way I'm talking about this thing. I'm going to change the way I'm thinking about this thing. If you don't change, things just keep going on the way they're going. If you want to change an outcome, you got to have a change in your action, change in your thinking. John 14, y'all found it? John 14, notice what it says here in the first verse. Jesus speaking, written in red if you have red letter edition. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Now, I think it's interesting because he's talking about leaving them. He's talking about, eventually giving his life and being crucified and rising again. And later on, the 27th verse, he says the same thing, but he's talking about leaving again. But he's telling them not to let their heart be troubled. And not to be afraid. He's telling them, believe in God, believe also in me. Now there's a lot in that verse. Everybody say, let. Okay, so trouble is something you let happen in your heart. It's not what happens out here that troubles you. It's what you think of. It's what you think about what's happening out here. Okay, because you start thinking. I don't know about you, but I think all the time. How about you? And sometimes I think right, sometimes I think wrong. But when something happens, I have a choice to think about, is that going to affect me? Is that going to ruin my life? Am I going to overcome this, or am I going to give in to this? I start thinking, my brain starts working, my head starts working. And I have the choice, and Jesus is putting the onus on us. In other words, the monkey's on our back. He said, you let not your heart be troubled. He didn't say, I will not let it be troubled. He said, you let it, you stop that worrying. I know as I'm saying this that it's a challenge. I'm not I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I don't worry too. I got to deal with it like everybody else does. I got no stones to throw here. But the scripture is very plain that we don't have to worry. We can overcome it. We can get better at this, okay? We can start turning things over to the Lord. I think of Isaiah 26:3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's what the King James says. Now think about it. If you want peace, perfect peace, you got to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. And you got to trust in him. Isn't that what it says? Because he trusteth in thee. Well, there's that verse right here. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Yeah, we're Christians. We're believers. I assume most of us here today are believers. Not a lot of lost people come to church. We'll give an invitation and give you an opportunity to be saved here in a moment if you are lost. But most people in church are saved. And we of all people need to develop a faith in God that he's going to take care of us, that we're going to get through this. Yeah, we're in a broken world. Things happen. I understand that. But I don't need to let my heart be troubled. I don't need to let what happens to me, what I see, what I hear, trouble me. I can believe in God. And if I believe in God, that stops the worry. That stops the trouble. That stops the anxiety. And man, I tell you, we're a bundle of emotions and thoughts when you think about it, really. Life is more than just things. It's more than just what goes on in our life. It's what's going on in our head. I mean, once you get bad news, I don't care how great a day you're having. It's just like you fall off into the abyss. I mean, you get bad news, everything's sad. Happy songs are sad. Hello? No jokes are funny. No matter how funny they are, you're sad. Your mind is determining your outcome, what you're thinking on, what you're meditating on. Not what's going on out here. What you're thinking about in your head. That's who you are. All right, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's what the scripture says in Proverbs. So what we've got to do is get a hold of this thing. Worry comes from words. Bad report we heard. Did you hear this? Did you hear that? Just got a phone call. Blah, blah, blah. Hadn't seen anything. Nothing's happened. But you've gotten words. You've gotten some word. You remember Herod, when the wise men from the east came to see Jesus at his birth in Matthew's second chapter? It says they told Herod about this, and it says he was troubled. Troubled. Why? Because he was thinking about what this meant. That this king of the Jews, oh man, I'm threatened now. I'm threatened. But all he was threatened by was the words he heard. It says he was troubled. That's in Matthew, the second chapter. So words trouble us, don't they? You hear a bad report. You hear about the economy going bad. You hear about the stock market falling if you got stocks. You heard about the housing industry tanking, if you're into real estate. Or, all these things we hear, and we hear gas is, going up, and when we drive a long ways to work, and our brain just starts running and starts going, oh, man, I'm never going to be able to make it. I can't afford this. I can't do this. Can't do that. Can't get a job. Can't buy a house. I can't sell my house if I'm trying to sell it. All that is just words that have come that you have created a whole future in your mind that those words are going to affect you in a certain way. What you've got to do is start saying, well, I don't know about the economy, and I don't know about what the housing industry is doing. I don't know really about what stocks are doing, so on and so forth, but I know my God shall supply my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know he always has, and he always will. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And you're rejected by someone, maybe a relationship or whatever, or maybe you went through divorce, terrible thing to have to go through. I mean, God hates divorce, but God doesn't give up on people, You're just thinking about your life being miserable and ruined and so on. Or maybe you lost a loved one. And, if they're saved, they went to heaven. Thank God they went to heaven. Think on that. But you think, how am I ever going to make it without them? Well, I tell you what. You're going to make it if you trust Jesus. You will. You've never been alone a day in your life since you got saved. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you to the ends of the earth. It might be tough. It might take a while. But each day will get better. Hallelujah. You need to start thinking along those lines, that the Lord is with me. He'll sustain me. His righteous right hand holds me. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be dismayed. God's on my side. And greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. God is crazy about me. If he had a refrigerator, my picture would be on it. Hallelujah. Amen? Words trouble us sometimes, see, but we don't need to let those words trouble us. Let not your heart be troubled. And sometimes pictures, images, things we see trouble us. You know, when the disciples in Matthew 14, remember when Jesus came walking on the water? It says, when they saw him, they thought it was the Spirit, and they were troubled. They, in other words, anxiety hit. Oh, it's a ghost. You know, they thought it was a spirit. Of course, Peter, you know, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me walk on the water. And he did. He walked on the water. We all talk about him sinking, but he walked. He walked before he sank. Maybe he sank and Jesus had to save him. There's a whole lot of them on the boat. Didn't even try it. Stayed in the boat. Bunch of worry warts. I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat sitter. So sometimes what we see can worry us. You know, we see things that, and we start thinking about what that means. Oh, there's a spirit. Oh, that ghost is going to get me. Hello. No ghost is going to get you except the Holy Ghost. And that's a good thing if you get got by the Holy Ghost. Amen. But words, things we hear, things we see, and then, of course, just thinking in general. You know, Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples, they're all in a room, and he appeared to them in Luke 24. And when he all of a sudden, he just appeared right in front of them. And it says they were terrified and affrighted. Now, you know, King James, they were scared, as we say in East Texas. They were scared. But what happened was, you know, they saw something they hadn't seen before. Many times that happens to us, something never happened before, something we never seen before. And immediately we're afraid, you know. Fear comes and worry comes and trouble comes in that respect. Jesus said, he said, why are you afraid? Why do thoughts arise in your mind? I like that. I think that's interesting. Because thoughts bring worry. What we think about. What we hear, what we see, and what we think about. You know, you start changing your thinking, you'll worry a whole lot less. You really will. If you'll start believing God and trusting God, standing on his word, instead of just going crazy, you know, and ramping yourself up. You ever ramp yourself up worrying? It's like you're cranking up a Kawasaki, you know. It just starts, the more you talk about it, the more you start worrying. I mean, for long, it's just beyond you. It's more than you can handle. You're telling everybody about it. Well, quit talking about it, amen? Start trusting God. Turn to Acts 15. Is this helping anybody this morning? Let's determine not to do this. If Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. Then he's given us an alternative to being troubled. He's saying it's our responsibility not be troubled. But the alternative is believe in God. Trust God. You cannot trust God and worry at the same time. He might as well say, don't worry, trust me. Really, that's the thing we're saying, really, in essence. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So if you're worrying, you're not trusting. Now, what if Jesus said, love people? Would you love people? Would you think it'd be wrong to hate people? Well, he did. He said love people, didn't he? So it's wrong to hate people. And when you hate people, you're wrong. Doesn't mean you agree with everybody. Doesn't mean you like everybody. Doesn't mean you're going to hang out with everybody. Some type of people you need love from a distance. But you have to love them. That means you pray for them. You know, you lift them up. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to hang out with them. I like what Fred Price said one time. He said he walked in. He said, if I walk up to a guy's house and open up the gate to his yard and I walk in there and go up the door and knock on the door and he's got a dog and the dog comes and bites me, he said, that's what that dog does. That's his nature. He does that. He said, I don't hate that dog. He said, I forgive the dog for doing it. That's what dogs do. But I'm not going back in that yard. Hello. So maybe there's people you got to love at a distance, but you don't hate. You can't hate. Well, now, isn't this interesting? Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, isn't that about like loving? I mean, if I'm supposed to love because he said love, I'm supposed to forgive because he said forgive, I'm supposed to live holy because he said live holy, I'm not supposed to worry because he told me not to worry. Isn't that something we just kind of throw that off? You know, we don't think of it in that term, but really we're not supposed to worry. And we're tempted to do it. We've all done it, and we'll be tempted again. But we're going to have to recognize it as not being a good thing, not being a God thing, something that Jesus told us to overcome, and we need to work on that. We worry about our kids, we worry about our pets, our animals, and worry about, you know, whether we're going to catch fish when we go out fishing, Dick, or whatever, you know, just whatever. We can just name any number of things we might worry about, but it never does any good. You know, I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, I read it. It was a pastor that wrote the book. It has to be true. But anyway, he was just quoting something he'd read somewhere, that a fog that covers seven blocks amounts to about a glass of water if it could be condensed to liquid form. That's how thin fog spreads out, and yet it can go for blocks and you can't see, but it doesn't amount to anything. And that's what worry is. It can just take over our lives and taint and color everything we think about our future, our marriage, are you with me, our walk with God, our church, our business, whatever the case, but it really doesn't amount to anything. It's just a fog. It's like sitting in a rocking chair. There's a lot of motion going on, but you're not getting anywhere. You got to stop that worry, amen? Here's what it says in Acts 15. It says, "For as much as you have heard," I think this is interesting because I just want to center on this one verse. "For as much as you have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul." What happened here was there were Jews that came behind Paul. Everywhere Paul went, he went to a lot of Gentile cities. You know, like he went to Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Antioch, Poseidon. He went to places like Will's Point, Frog, Elmo, you know, Gentile cities where there were no Jews. And he witnessed to them, and they got saved, and churches got started there. Well, there were certain people that came up from Jerusalem that were Jews that had believed on Jesus, that came in there and said, "Well, no, you got to convert to Judaism. You got to be like all the rest of us Jews. You men got to be circumcised. You got to keep the feast." And so anyway, Paul says, "For as much as you've heard that certain which came out from us troubled you with words, subverting," verse 24 of 15th chapter, book of Acts, excuse me, Acts 15, verse 24. "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." See, he's straightening out something that was put into their head by words that they heard. Maybe we hear the same thing. "Well, I'm not saved because I did this," or "I'm not saved because that happened." Well, you know what? You're saved because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not saved. I hate to pop your bubble, but you're just not that good. You're not saved because you're that good. You're saved because he's that good. If you believe on Jesus Christ and you accept him as Lord and Savior, he saved you. Now, if you sin, you need to repent, but you're not lost when you sin. Are you with me? And sometimes words come and we feel unworthy. We feel like we're not going to make it. In this case, actually, they were thinking they weren't saved because they hadn't followed through with some other ritual beside Jesus. Listen, Jesus plus anything is wrong. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But words troubled them. Everybody say words. Yeah, we can hear things that just trouble us. It's something we see all through the Scripture. You can write this down. You don't have to turn there. But in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, they had heard that Jesus had already come back and he left them. That's right. They heard that people were preaching that and telling them. And so Paul wrote a letter to the Thessalonians, thus the book of Thessalonians. That's why they call it that. Thought I'd inform y'all. He wrote to them, and he said that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter that came from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He said Jesus hasn't come back yet. Don't let words trouble you or letters trouble you. You ever got a letter trouble you? You got bills? That's a troubling one. I mean, I've been having a great day, and I open up that letter and go, ooh. I mean, all of a sudden, trouble, trouble, trouble. Words, they're just words on a page, and yet your mind just takes them and runs with it, doesn't it? You heard a report, bam. You hear something on the TV, bam. You watch the news too much. You've been watching those riots in Baltimore too much. Turn the TV off. Come on, what else can happen? I mean, there's... You know, it's happened. It's just canned. It goes over and over and over. We ought to pray. Just pray about it. Amen. It's not happening in Willis Point, Texas. It's not happening all over the world. It's not happening all over the United States. Come on. Don't buy the lie. You know, we see something on TV and we think everybody's doing it. Everybody's not doing it. You know, we don't need censorship of the press. We have censorship by the press already. They choose what gets reported. And they don't report how many people get saved this week. They're not going to report on Fran's good report that we heard this morning, testimony. They're not going to report on what a great preacher I am. They're not going to report on people that got healed and people got filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not going to put a story about that tongue interpretation that you heard today for Bobby and Debbie. No, that's not what makes the news. And I understand that. I understand what they're doing. But we watch that, and we tend to think that's the whole world. And our whole world collapses in front of us as we're watching the TV. And we're like addicts. We're just hanging there watching every moment, every word. That's why the remote has a button on it called on, off. Or turn the channel. Are you with? And mute. Yeah. I definitely muted some when some people get on there. But anyway. Words. That's the scenario we're talking about here. Don't let words trouble you. In fact, if you want to give your life over to some words, give your life over to the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. That'll change everything. Hey, turn to Luke 10. Y'all still with me? Luke, the 10th chapter. Man, this is a good one. This is the account of Martha and Mary. You remember Martha? Well, it says here in Luke, the 10th chapter, in the 38th verse. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Martha was the sister of Lazarus. Remember Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead? That was Martha. And she had another sister named Mary. Martha and Mary were the sisters of Lazarus. Okay. And they hung around Jesus a lot. Lazarus hung around him a lot, and so on and so forth. And their name comes up several times in the Gospels. Well, anyway, they went to her house, 39th verse, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what Jesus is saying. 40th verse, but Martha. Everybody say, but. Now, see, when you see that, it's a contrast. In other words, it almost negates what's said before, or it gives you a contrast of what's said before. Yeah, I know, but. We're fixing to refute what we just said, right? That's why we say that. You know, like God's promise says this. Well, yeah, I know, but. Usually it's a negative thing, you know. I always like to say, goats, but, sheep, go, yes, amen. You need to quit saying but at the promise. You need to accept it, amen. Well, now Mary did something good, but Martha. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, but Martha, 39th verse, 40th verse, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. And sometimes we can do that. We can be busy doing things, but we're really not getting anywhere. We're just busy, 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 aren't we? I can do it as a pastor. I can be so busy I don't take time to pray. I don't take time to read the Bible. I don't take time to, you know, keep my own personal life and my own faith up, and I can just be busy pastoring and busy preaching and busy doing things, but I have to keep my heart right. I have to spend time with Jesus. I have to sit in his feet. I have to listen to his word. I need to daily read his word. I need to daily seek his face. Amen? I don't think anybody burns out ministering to Jesus. I think people burn out ministering for Jesus because they're not ministering to Jesus. As far as pastors concerned, people ask me about burnout. This is my 33rd year. 33 years of pastoring you. Wonderful people. And you are. But people ask, don't you get burnout? No, I'm more excited now than I ever was. Because, see, I love Jesus. I love to read his Bible. I love to read his word. I preach. I love to preach. But I'm not working without spending time with God. I'm not working and not taking care of my personal life. I actually live this. I mean, I read the Bible every day. I get excited about Scripture. I mean, I text Scripture back and forth. Amanda can testify. We do this all the time. We're always texting verses back and forth, you know, that we see in a different translation. Every day, all this is just is my life. I love this. I love Jesus. I love the Bible. I love the Word. So burning out's not going to happen unless I stop ministering to the Lord. I could burn out ministering to you. But that's a sign I'm not ministering to the Lord. So she's serving, doing good things for the Lord, but she's not sitting at his feet. Catching this? It's real important to get a hold of this, because you can do good things and get burnt out. You can do good things and get into worry and frustration and thinking nobody knows the trouble you see, and you're out here doing this and nobody recognizes you, and I'm the only one out here. You know, Elijah did that. After he killed 800 prophets of Baal, he's hiding behind a rock and said, "Lord, there's nobody left serving you but me. God said, I have 7,000 people who hadn't badly need a bell. Are you out there? Okay, so Martha was troubled, cumbered about much serving, came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? I mean, think about how arrogant she's getting now. She's getting frustrated. Lord, don't you care that I'm out here doing all the work and here she is sitting at your feet? Bid her to come help me. And Jesus says, I always think of Cary Grant, Jutee. You know, he said, Martha, Martha. Twice he said it. He said, Martha, Martha, you are careful, anxious, have anxiety, and you are troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. You're troubled because you need to get at my feet. You know, we often say, I heard this the other day, we often say, don't just sit there and do something. Sometimes you need to quit doing something and sit there. Are you out there? Now, I'm not saying don't go to work. Don't twist what I'm saying. Pastor said I stay home tomorrow. No, I didn't say that. I'm saying you need to get still. Was it Psalms 34 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. You need to think this thing through. What are you so frustrated about? What are you so upset about? What has got you all keyed up? Why did you have to double your blood pressure medicine today? What's the deal here? What is it that's warting on you? What are you worried about? You are troubled about many things, but there's one thing that's needful. And what is that needful thing? Sitting at his feet and hearing his word and trusting him. That's better preaching. Y'all are amening? Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Mary did the right thing. She sat there and she heard what Jesus had to say. Martha wasn't paying a bit of attention. If you're busy doing things for God and you're not spending time with God, you need to get to spend some time with God. You really do. You need to do both, but I mean, you've got to be balanced in life. Turn to Philippians 4. We'll wrap this thing up. Philippians 4 chat. Man, this is I need this. How about you? Martha, Martha. Eva, Eva. Come on. Yeah, Bobby, Bobby. Yeah, I mean, I could just see Jesus. We miss the humor sometimes, don't we? We read through here, and we have this picture of Jesus being stoic all the time. I love that picture. It's called the Laughing Jesus. Y'all ever seen that? Where he's laughing. It's almost like a pen and ink, I think is what it is. But I think of Jesus that way. I think Jesus had a sense of humor. I think he laughed. He had a lot of emotion. You know, and I could just see him shaking his head. Martha, and smiling what he said. Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. You just need to chill out, girl. You need to chill out and you need to sit down. Mary over here has got it, okay? Why don't you go sit down there by Mary and chill out? And you're getting frustrated, you're getting anxious, you're working it up. We do that, don't we? Because we're not trusting God. It's going to be all right. Calm down. Everything's all right. Michael Maines wrote a song called Calm Down. Everything's going to be all right. I love it. If you just calm down, trust God, you're going to get through this. You really are. You may not think you're going to make it, but you are. God says you are. You're going to make it. Amen? Philippians 4:6. You know it. Many of you quote this by heart or memory. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. That word careful is fretful, anxious, or troubled. It's the same word, really. Don't be anxious, fretful for anything. Everybody say nothing. No thing. Let no thing trouble you. Nothing. How's that? How you do that? But in everything, by prayer, here it goes, and supplication, with thanksgiving. Everybody say thanksgiving. Because if we're going to pray, we're going to believe, right? If we're not going to believe, we don't need to pray. And if we believe, we need to thank him. Because if we believe, we're going to say thank you. If somebody comes up to me and says, I'm going to mow your yard, I'm going to say, first of all, you're going to have to wait about 2 or 3 days because it's too wet. But anyway, if he says they're going to mow my yard, I say thank you before he does it because I believe him. If I know them and they've got mowers and the wherewithal to do it and they're a person of their word, I'm going to thank them ahead of time. They said they're going to do it. Well, here it says, by prayer and supplication, that's request with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's where worry comes from, isn't it? We don't pray. I kid about this, but I got a friend that pastors, and he got with his men, and something was going on in the church, pretty serious matter, and he brought it up, and he says, guys, there's this going on, that going on. And one guy says, sound like me, we need to pray. Another guy says, oh, no, has it come down to that? You know, like that's a last resort, you know. Actually, prayer ought to be first resort, shouldn't it? As soon as you hear that bad report, as soon as you hear that word that troubles you, as soon as you see that thing, that image that gives that fear to you, terrifies you, whatever, as soon as you're getting frustrated in the middle of whatever you're doing, you need to stop and you need to pray with thanksgiving. You need to let your request be known unto God. You need to turn this thing over to the Lord. Amen. And, seventh verse, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. It's the kind of peace that the world can't give. And the world can't take it away. Amen. The world didn't make you. The world can't break you. And the world can't shake you. If you'll believe God and trust God, you can get through this thing. And he says, finally, brethren, this is good. He says, the peace of God past all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. Everybody say mind. There it is. There's that head going all the time, man. Your head's going all the time. You got to get your head full of the Word and start rooting out those bad thoughts, those negative thoughts, those worry thoughts. Stop worrying. Wow. Yeah. It says it'll keep you and guard your hearts and your mind. In other words, praying and seeking God and getting His Word will put a guard on your mind. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. I like this because the New Living Translation says, fix your thoughts on what is true. What is honest, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what's of a good report. I like that. Don't think on bad reports. Don't meditate on all the negative, worst-case scenarios. Start thinking on coming out of this thing. Can you see yourself coming out? You need to see yourself coming out. Can you see yourself on the other side of this thing with the clouds dissipating, the sun shining again? That's what you need to see. You need to see God coming through. You need to see yourself standing up in church testifying how God blessed you and how God helped you through this. Can you see yourself giving God glory for the answer? A good report? Think on that, see? Think on what's going to happen when you get through this. Don't think on where you are right now. Think of where you're going to be. Amen? Good report. And this is God speaking to us, telling us to fix our minds on these things. Because when we fix our mind on the negative, that's where the worry comes from. That's where the anxiety comes from. It says this. It says, whatsoever things pure, whatsoever things lovely, whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, that's power. I like that. If there any way God can show up in this, and he can, that's what you need to think on. If there be any praise, think on these things. Fix your mind on these things. Well, things are looking right for a miracle. The Israelites looked at the Goliath and they saw nothing but his size. David looked at him and saw nothing but a prize. The Israelites looked at him and said, he's so big we'll never be able to defeat him. David looked at him and he says, he's so big I can't miss him. Are you out there? It's attitude. Ninth verse says this, in closing, my final closing. This is it. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do those things. And the God of peace shall be with you. What you need to think on is what you've learned from Jesus. What you need to look at is the things you've seen him do. Amen? And what you need to do is do those things. And if you do that, the God of peace will be with you. You can stop. We got a cure for worry. We do. It's trust in Jesus.